Blog Talk Radio.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
Brown Sugar Radio is the food for your soul. Enriching lives with many possibilities, we embrace and uplift our community with love, laughter, and inspiration. Today, I encourage you to keep learning, keep smiling, but most of all, keep striving to make your dreams come true. It's time to believe in yourself and walk into your new journey. Buckle your seatbelts for another exciting segment on the hottest urban show on the internet. It's time to get up, Brown Sugar Radio Lord listeners. We've got work to do.
Well, hey, welcome back, you guys. I know that we just had a show this past Thursday, but I had to do this show because it's just been so disturbing to me. And I received several emails like, Sugar, when are you going to do a show on this? This is ridiculous. A lot of my listeners were shocked I haven't already had a segment. And so today I decided, you know, I've got to squeeze this show in because if I don't do it, I'm never going to get to it. But what I'd love to do at this time is introduce to some and present to others my guest co-host of the day, TV. What's going on?
How y'all doing? How y'all doing, people?
Okay. It's been a long time, I know, since we've actually hosted a show together. So welcome back, PB. Good to have you.
Look, it's been too long.
For real. Okay. So I was like, you know, I said, who would be really good at co-hosting this show with me? None other than P.B. Made some major changes going on in your life. I mean, just got a lot going on with you and myself personally. I done got married. You done moved out of Pine Bluff. We just making some changes.
Yes, I'm out of Pine Bluff, but I'm still P.D.
That's right, all day. Okay, well, it's good to have you back. And certainly, you know, I just wanted to kind of catch the listeners up a bit in regards to what's been going on with PB, you know, and let them know that you're still here, you're still kicking, alive and kicking, as we call it. And so I wanted to get into the heart of this subject. Why are we losing our young, innocent children? And that has, it started with the Trayvon Johnson, went on into the Sandy Hook Elementary, then here locally in Vegas. I don't know if you heard about Jade Morrison, another tragedy that happened. And now we have Hadiyah Pendleton, which the First Lady, Michelle Obama, attended her funeral today. And it's just been one devastation after another. And I just do not want to wait any longer before we talk about this, because it just seems like things are not getting better. They really aren't. So when we look back, you know, beginning with Trayvon Martin, a lot of people were outraged because of a hoodie. He was shot and he was prejudged, as you call it, you know, thinking the shooter, Zimmerman, believed that he was going to harm him because he had his hoodie on. Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. So then they had the march for Trayvon, and that seemed to help. And I'm thinking, wow, America's got to be getting better. Then we get hit with Sandy Hook Elementary. What are your thoughts, PB, in regards to all of these young, innocent children losing their lives unnecessarily?
Yeah, I think it's a definitely an unfortunate situation, but I just think with the whole Trayvon Martin, to me, that's kind of something. To me, that's kind of different from the other tragedies that we are having. With that one, that was kind of, to me, my personal opinion, to me, I feel like that one was more racism-based because, like, how do you follow a person? Yeah, I mean, I've been places and I've seen certain situations that don't look right, seem like it could be suspicious. But do I try to trail a person and try? No, I go the opposite direction. You know, I go about my business. Why
right.
do you trail a person? You, like, basically, you harass this young man. You harassed him. You went to him. You followed him. Like, so to me, I feel like that one, I mean, it's very unfortunate any time that a young person lose their life that don't grow to live their full life and see their full potential in their life. And then it's just sad to me when a parent has to bury a child under those circumstances. That's just very unfortunate.
Right. You know, I think you're absolutely right. This one had to deal, well, we don't know exactly who the shooter was with the Hadiyah Pendleton case. That's one mystery that is, we don't know if it was race-related or just, you know, a random drive-by or what. Because the interesting thing about her situation is that, you know, she recently performed at the...
the inauguration?
Yep, the inauguration for Barack Obama. And her dance team did a performance, and it was beautiful. It was a great honor, being from Chicago. You know, I'm sure that's why he selected them. And so this is why it was really dear to Michelle Obama's heart, because the teen had contributed recently to their inauguration. So the funeral was held today, and, of course, you know, the security, the Secret Service, I mean, it had to be extremely tight. I'm sure they didn't let Michelle do too much, but she met privately with the family today. And the girl, like I said, she was only 15 years old. It made nationwide news because of the simple fact her shooter is a mystery, okay? She was coming home from school, bless her heart, and in the park she got shot down. And this is what I'm trying to research to see. Was she in a group when she got shot down? Was she walking by herself? Have you heard as far as how the actual shooting had taken place, or you don't have the details on that, PB?
Well, actually, I was doing some reading up before the show, and what I was reading now, I'm not sure how accurate it is, but I know they were saying that, like, they had got out of school early, and it was a couple, like, it was her and some friends hanging out. Like, they were all hanging out in a group environment, and they were saying that she's not in a gang, but some of the people that she was hanging with might have been in a gang, and so they're thinking that this shooting possibly was gang-related, but they're saying that they don't think that she was the actual target. But she, you know, it's kind of like one of those things where you're just at the wrong place at the wrong time. And so, you know, with my thing, what I try to always, and you know, like with me, I have nieces and a nephew, so you know, I always try to talk to them and just let them know that, you know, like, you gotta follow your own mind, because really what it's gonna boil down to is the choices that you make, you know, because nowadays stuff is so much going on. So, you know, you could just surround yourself around the wrong person and
right.
get involved in something that you have nothing to do with. So you always just want to be aware of the people that you are associating yourself with, because nowadays you don't even have to do nothing to have a problem with somebody or to be involved in something. You could just be with the person, with somebody that's involved in something, and then you got a whole problem and involved in something that you have nothing to do with.
Wow, that's ridiculous. But, yes, so true. You know, it is so true. And I guess they say that's why you have to watch the company you keep. You know, she may not have even been aware this particular person had a hit out on them. And, obviously, so it was
yeah.
a mistake. Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know, and with it being a group environment, she probably wasn't even friends, like exactly friends with all of the people that was there in the group. With it being a group environment, she could have just been friends with one person. And, you know, somebody else could have been in the group and they decided to come and shoot the group up. But, you know, the sad part that I actually read about it when I was doing some reading on it, the part that I found that was just very terrible is that after she was actually shot, and I guess after she was shot, she, like, fell to the ground or something like that, all the people that was there with her at the scene, they left. They
oh, my
scene
goodness.
They didn't stay to try to help.
To try to help her, call the police, nothing.
They didn't do nothing. They left.
And see, that could have saved her life. Yep.
That could have saved her life, and that's another reason why I say you have to choose the people that you're hanging around, because, like, what kind of friend is that?
For real.
What kind of person is that? You see a person is shot, helpless, on the ground, and you just going to leave. That's horrible.
That's crazy. That's crazy. You know, the shooting took place, the interesting thing, this is why it was so dear to First Lady Michelle Obama's heart, because it actually took place not far from the Obama's home in the Kenwood neighborhood. And police said that on January 29th, the shooting appeared to be mistaken identity, you're absolutely right, of gang members who believe the park was their territory. So Michelle Obama grew up on the south side of Chicago, you know, so it's a lot of various connections that took place and why she felt it was important to be there. And so she was actually a band majorette, and her team actually wore their black and gold team jackets to the funeral today in honor of her. And so that was very nice. But so sad, you know, innocent children with bright futures. And I just find that now I want to kind of get into Jade Morrison. I know you don't know too much about this story, PB, but I'd love for you to elaborate on the Sandy Hook, okay? Jade Morrison was a 10-year-old out here in Las Vegas, and this story really struck a chord with me. Her father's, I believe, ex-fiancé went to pick her up to go Christmas shopping, all right? Now, from what I've been reading, it was reportedly that this is something she did annually. So this was like her fourth or fifth year going to pick up the young child to go Christmas shopping. This happened on December 20th, 5 days before Christmas. So the soon-to-be stepmom picks Jade up. Nobody thinks nothing of it. She's done it before. Takes her out into the desert and stabs her over 40 times. Leaves her body in the desert, comes back and slices up a woman that works in the Bellagio Casino. Now, those of you who are not here familiar in Vegas, the Bellagio is one of the 5-star, top-of-the-line casinos that she worked at. She was a blackjack dealer. And reportedly, the reason her motive was for slicing this lady's face up, security had to come and get her and arrest her, and killing the 10-year-old was because she found out her fiancé was cheating on her. Now, come on here. What happened to the good old-fashioned days where you just break up with somebody and keep it pushing? Did you really have to take an innocent 10-year-old child's life? And my thing is this, not that it's right, but why take it out on the child? Take it up with him. Not saying that his life should be gone, but you should have went to him and you should have worked that out with him, not the child. The child was innocent. So reportedly, the reason she killed his daughter, because she said she wanted him to hurt as bad as she did. Now get this, PB. The crazy part of the scenario is that weeks prior to her murdering this child and slicing this lady's face up with a blade and in public at the Bellagio, this was a coworker that she sliced up, by the way, while she was working. So, you know, tourists are probably like, oh, Lord, I didn't know it go down like this in Vegas. You know what I'm saying? They in Bellagio are like, what? So the crazy part about it is that she told her doctor, her psychiatrist, she felt like hurting someone. Now, my cry out to the family is this. They need to press charges on this doctor. Or they need to look into why didn't the doctor, if this story is true, this is allegedly, now that she told her doctor she needed help. She said, I feel like I'm going to hurt somebody. This might have been during the time when she found out her fiancé was cheating on her with this woman. My thing is, why didn't the physician treat her or you know, put her in one of those mental institutions or crazy jacket, something? Because then we would have had two people that could have, one, not been severely injured. And I'm telling you, she sliced, according to the police reports, She sliced this lady's face from the right ear to the left. So now she's got one of those huge, like, Joker smiles across her face. Just ridiculous. That's serious. Why didn't this physician do anything? You know, so that was really heartbreaking. That hit so close to home because that's right here in my backyard with this going on in Vegas. And I just felt that it was something that could have been prevented. Why is this happening? It's happening too often. Now, this was a week after. This was the Friday after the Sandy Hook. Okay? So, Fabi, I'd love for you to get into that because this happened December 13th when Adam, was it Lozano? Went into the elementary school. And so what I would like to say before you begin, I think it's crazy. Reports stated that his mother knew he was mentally ill, but yet she would take him out to the gun range and teach him how to shoot. Why would you do that? That's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
You know, did you hear that story?
Absolutely. You know, to me, it's just ridiculous to know that you have a person that has mental issues and you have guns in the house. I would be scared that, you know, I would be scared for my own safety because when a person has mental issues, sometimes they snap out of it. They not themselves. And so in the middle of the night, you got a house full of guns. He can just come shoot, you know. And
for real, right.
Unfortunately, he did kill her, you know. But I'm just saying, like, if you know that, why do you have that? Like, why are we, like, come, we got to do better. Like, we got to do better.
For
like,
real,
why do
right.
you have that available? Like, I know most people that have guns and have children in the house, they have the guns hid in places where kids, like, they have them in places kids can't reach and places kids would never search. But when you know that you have a person with mental issues, you don't have guns in the house, and you don't need, and if you're going to have them, of course, the last thing you want that person with mental issues is to know where they at.
And how to use it, okay?
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, that's asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm. Right, and reports were stating that she was teaching her son how to defend himself, but there were other ways that you could have went about doing that.
Yeah, you like, I mean, come on. Now, you don't give a crazy person no gun.
For real.
Like, you just don't do that. Like, I don't know what was going on through her mind, but it's very unfortunate that that would happen, and I mean, you know, I know they haven't still, like, we'll probably never know what happened, but I would just like to know, like, because I know at first when the story first came out, they were saying that his mom worked at the school and all of that stuff, and then I think reports came out that she didn't have anything to do with the school. So I just kind of, like, want to know what made him want to go to a school and just start shooting, you know?
Well, I know he had some run-ins with the school, and I don't know if he was banned from the school and she had to start homeschooling. I really am not clear on the reports as to why. I know he had behavior problems. I know he had threatened to even kill his mother before. She had taken him into the doctor several times. She loved her son, like all parents do. We love our children. But love in this situation was not enough. She truly, as much as it hurts, should have kept him instituted because it would have saved 25, 26 lives that were lost, you know. It's really
Absolutely.
Unfortunate, you know, and
yeah.
I just feel, yeah, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, when it's a problem that you can't, and see, that's another thing that we have, and I know we have this, and not to just try to make this a black thing, but especially with us African-Americans, we try to ignore a lot of things. You know, like, we try to put things off. You know, we try to make them seem like they're, like, okay, that's not really big as what it is. You know, okay, the school says my child got ADHD. That's not really a big deal. No, when they're telling you that your child has this stuff, and, like, when they're telling you that you're having these problems, you need to at least go sit with a psychiatrist, sit down and talk to somebody, speak with somebody. Like, we need to quit trying to ignore the issues. And because, I mean, you know, you got a lot of older people that think, oh, well, back in my day, we didn't have this. You know, you just get a belt. Well,
mm-hmm.
nowadays,
right.
like, we're not in that time anymore. When
yeah.
we having these issues and people are saying that you have these problems or your child has this problem, you need to take it serious and go out and get them the help that they need.
That's
because,
real.
You know, nowadays, we have this stuff available, And, you know, you never know. Like, when you're just overlooking this stuff, that's causing harm to others. Like, it's not only affecting you, but it's affecting other people's lives. Because, like I'm saying, that was, like, I mean, I think the total death was, like, 28, including his mom?
Right, you know, uh-huh, 27 or 8, yeah, yeah.
You know, you go in and shoot, and, like, those are kids. I'm talking about, like, babies that you go in. You just go in and shoot 20 kids, you know. And then I just think it was just so, what that I know that they were saying that one of the teachers actually hid all of her students, and when he came in the classroom, he ended up just shooting her and left. Like, that was just, like, very courageous of her to do something like that, you know.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Risk her life for her students, you know.
Mm.
I couldn't imagine. I couldn't even imagine going through something like that.
For real. So through all of these tragedies that have taken place, you know, everything from Sandy Hook Elementary, okay, even let's go back as far as Jennifer Hudson's little nephew. That's why it was so touching to me to see her sing at the Super Bowl, because she could relate with the pain these families were going through. She just recently went through her own a few years back. And I honestly felt like, way to go, Jennifer, because now you're using your celebrity to help touch the lives of others. And I always know whenever we go through valleys in life that it's a reason for it, and God uses us to help others get through it. But at the end of the day, when you're going through that pain, you don't quite get it at that time. First question is, why me? You know, God, you really think I'm this strong? So I just have to look back at everything that's happened over these last 2 years and say, why are we continuing to have this violence? And then it makes me angry when Obama tries to do things with guns. He was trying to get the laws restricted with owning guns and just, you know, with guns, period. And then he gets criticized, you know. What is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to sit back and do nothing? He's trying to get this taken care of because he's tired as well of seeing innocent lives be lost. And I think it's too easy for these people to get guns nowadays. Now, mind you, even though Jade Morrison, hers was not gun-related, it was still a harsh crime against a young child that did not need to die. You know, but having access to weapons, period, rather as a knife, a gun, a bat, whatever, you know, what is going on mentally inside of these people's head? We need to do evaluations to see at the end of the day, should these people have access to these type of guns and weapons? You know, shouldn't that woman have been locked up in a mental institution? You know something's going on if she's telling you she's getting ready to hurt somebody. Then we have George Zimmerman, you know, thinking that Trayvon was going to do something because he had a hoodie on. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm still trying to figure out, like, with that story that you, like, because I think I did hear something about that story. I didn't hear about the child being killed, but I did hear about the story about the lady where she slashed the lady's face up. I'm trying to figure out, why was she even back out on the streets? Like, how was she back out on the streets?
Right.
Like, I don't
doctor,
understand.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you know, I hate to really just go in and just do this to and talk about the justice system, but nowadays we are focusing so much on drugs that we are really just taking the, we're really not focusing on what the bigger picture. Like, we're not focusing on what the big picture is. Or, like, we're giving people, like, they're giving people more time for drugs than they're giving people for just out here doing battery, domestic battery, you know. People that's out here doing, you know, we got people out here killing people, shooting people, cutting people, you know. They're back, you know, they get arrested, they set a bond, they let them go, they back on the street. Like, nothing happened.
Right.
We have people out here with drugs, they get locked up. And they in there for, like, years.
Right.
Like, why the same thing not happening with these people that's doing this domestic battery, like, domestic violence? Like, why are they being just, like, back on the street? Like, nothing happened. Then they get out and they go out and just, it's like something else happened.
Right. Repetitively. And I think that it's just unfair, you know, that they continue to let this happen. You know, I'm like, what is going on here? Do we have an issue with our justice system. You know, what's really going on in America is what we have to ask ourselves, because it's just so many things that are happening that should not even been an issue. You know, we see the red flags, we see the warning signs, but no one continues to pay attention to that. They just blow it off until it's their child. And that's what I find unacceptable.
You know, to me, I just think, like, with the world we're living in today, the world has just, like, it's like on another place. Like, we're in a different time, in a different place. Everybody wants to be wealthy, live right. I mean, well, live a good life and all that. So, you know, we have people out here that they're not putting value in life anymore itself. They're putting, like, we got people out here that's valuing money, material things, more than they're actually valuing life. And see, that's what I try to always explain to people, that you can have all the money in the world and still be unhappy. You can have all the money in the world, still have health problems. So, you know, you have to value life and learn how to live in the moment and appreciate, because, like, I know this topic is about the youth and about kids, but, like, even with the whole situation with just happened to rapper Rick Ross, you know, people, like, they tried to roll up on him and shoot up his car, tried to assassinate him. You know,
oh my goodness.
We have so much going on. Like, you know, people, like, it's just too much going on. Like, people just, it's too much going on. Like, y'all, like, he got money. People jealous of what he got. And, like, come on, like, we need to just take a step back and just value life. Because, like, you can get money, you can lose money, you can get money, you can get a car, go get another car. But a life, that's something that you can't get back.
You cannot get back, yeah.
We need to put more value on life than we're doing on these material things.
That's right, you know, because it's just ridiculous that, you know, it's being taken for granted. It's not something that people are taking more seriously, you know. I find it just unbelievably sad, because then we have the families, okay? We need to talk about the families of the victims. What really hit home for me during the Sandy Hook and the Jade Morrison situation was, now, mind you, I know me as a parent. I understand everyone doesn't celebrate Christmas, but I do, and I'm sure a lot of these parents and families did for their children. Now, it's already hard enough. I still grieve constantly with the loss of my niece that was murdered in 2001 during Halloween. I remember going through that first Thanksgiving and that first Christmas, and it was very hard, you know. And then comes the anniversary, 2012, October 31st. It was like it opened up an old wound. And that whole day I wasn't right. And so now these parents, mind you, I'm sure they're just like me. They start their Christmas shopping early. No one shops with the hopes of, will my kid be alive? Should I buy this? Type of mentality. But I'm sure they had already done their Christmas shopping. I'm sure they had their holiday plans. A lot of them were probably planning on going out of town to be with family and loved ones. And then this hits right before the holiday season. Now, me, I'm a very family-oriented person. I love holidays with my family, and I embrace it. And I can just imagine, you know how they say the holidays is one of the most, the hardest times for people to get through. And that's usually when the suicide rate is the highest, because people are lonely or they're grieving the loss of a loved one, rather it's through death or a breakup. But I just sat back, PB, and I was reflecting and thinking, this is a horrible, not that any other time isn't better, but to lose a child right before the holidays, right before the new year, you know, that just really did something to me. You know, so here they got all these Christmas presents and things under the tree for their child, and no one's there. Little Johnny's not there to open them up.
Right.
So the family's going through the loss, you know, and the tragedy of losing them. My prayers are with them, too.
Absolutely.
And you know, because when you lost your grandmother, how hard that was. You can relate exactly.
Absolutely.
You know?
You know, I think anybody that, and that's why I say, like, we need to take a step back and just take a step back and just think, because I'm pretty sure everybody then probably lost somebody, whether it was somebody that was close to you or it was somebody in your family. And the thing is, like, I mean, of course, as time goes on, you learn how to cope and how to deal with it, but you never forget. And like you said, when holiday time come around, you know, it always takes you back to that place because that person is no longer there, and they'll never be there again, you know. So it's always there. That's why I said, you know, we have to take a step back and just think. Like, you know, before, I understand you get mad. I understand you're frustrated. But, you know, you have to take a step back and think, like, what I'm finna do, is it really worth it? You know, like, is it really worth it? Like, you got to think about the not only is it going to affect the person, like, the person that you want to harm, it's not only going to affect that person, but it's going to affect that whole family. And so that's something that you just have to remember and try to keep in your head. But like we said, if it's a person with a mental problem or something like that, of course, you know, they need to get help. If the signs are there, you need to try to get them help. It's not something that you need to just try to ignore.
That's it. You know? And that's the whole thing in a nutshell. And people don't realize it. It's just, it's unbelievable, the selfish mentality that takes place when you take a life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, now most of the stories that we've talked about, there was a motive behind all of them. The one I can't seem to figure out is the Sandy Hook. That's the one I think is the most disturbing, because he was dang near a child himself. 19, 20 years old, was he?
Yeah, I think he was like 20 or, yeah, something like that.
I mean, other than, I guess you could say, he's just him being mentally ill. You know, I mean,
I
don't know.
And it's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate because, like, I could see if it's one thing for a person to be ill or have problems or something and it's not known, but for it to be a known issue that he had problems and, like, he wasn't getting any help for it, you know, that's just what makes it even more sad because, like I'm saying, he lived a life that was probably miserable to him. So he felt like since his life was so miserable that he had to go out and do something else. Like, I just feel like that was just kind of crazy on his, and, you know, I hate to blame that on his mother, you know, because, you know, she ended up losing her life as well. But it was just very unfortunate that she knew that he had those issues and you introduced him to the guns and stuff. Like, it was just, it's just horrible.
It is. You know, what was the purpose behind that? My brother, many of my listeners know, my brother is autistic, and he, you know, is very bright. And, you know, the thing about it is that he never once ever felt like he was being treated differently because we never treated him differently. You know, he's family at the end of the day, you know. He still eats with us. He still goes shopping with us. He goes to the movies with us. I mean, we did not treat him as if there was any type of handicap or mental disorder that was there or a disability that was present. And I often wonder, did the mother shelter him too much? You know, over-sheltering a child could maybe make them backfire like this.
And you definitely do have a point. You definitely do have a point there. Because sometimes you can, sometimes the parent can do too much, like treat them as if they're, like, you know, like, I don't want to say treat them as if they're handicapped, but sometimes they cripple the kids.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
That's
probably what happens.
Make them feel as if it's a problem. You know, and so a lot of things that they do are overlooked because they have the handicap. So a lot of things that they do are overlooked because they have that handicap. Oh, you know, such and such. Oh, you know, he has a problem. No, you know, like, I feel like you still shouldn't treat those kids like that. But like I said, if he had a problem, and, like, I'm pretty sure that just as well as, like what you said, the lady was spoke to a doctor, or it's alleged that she spoke to a doctor and told the doctor that she felt like hurting someone. I'm pretty sure that before he went to that school and did what he did, he probably was either showing the signs or either said some things that to his mom that kind of gave her the indication that he was going to do something. Now, whether she knew what he was going to do or not, but once somebody gives you that sign or give you that conversation, you need to try to get them some help. I mean, that's just like if you have a kid and your kid come in, tell you that they have thoughts of suicide. So what you going to, you just going to ignore, you just going to skip that like your child didn't tell you that? Normally you're going to go get your child some help. Like you're going to go sit them down or try to talk, or you're going to sit down with them and try to talk to them about it. You know, like you're not just going to bypass it. And I feel like a lot of things that we just overlook nowadays. And like that's probably the thing with his mom. She probably just like, he probably actually had that talk with her before about him wanting to shoot someone or something like that. She probably just overlooked it. But then again, I don't know that.
No, you're right, because there was a report that I was reading where she was stating that she loved her son, but he had actually let me take a peek at this story here. Okay. The mother admitted, because when he got hospitalized before, she had took him to I don't know if it was a regular hospital, because the story doesn't say, or if it was a psychiatric clinic. But she had taken him in before because he was at supposed to wear, she wanted him to wear a certain color. I guess this is when he was attending school. He attended a school that wore uniforms, and he had to wear a specific color pants. She asked him to change the pants, and he refused. He ended up throwing a temper tantrum, saying, "I hate you," called her the B word, said, "I'm going to kill you," blah, blah, blah. This is not the first time he's mentioned death and murder and killing. And the thing is, she knew that. This was something that was in the reports. But get this. Now, the latest breaking story is that the motive, because I'm researching this as we are speaking, and a possible motive might have been that Adam Lanza's mother cared more about Sandy Hook students than him. And so what they're believing is that this is why he went to that school. Maybe there was a stage of jealousy and rage that took place, being that his mother either used to work there or volunteer there. I'm not for sure the full relationship, so I have to be careful what I say on the air, but there is a connection that Adam believed possibly his mother cared more for the school and the children there than him. So, I don't know. His former babysitter, Ryan Kraftis, claims that she warned him to never turn his back on her son and not even go to the bathroom. And that the babysitter was saying that they seen some issues with his anger that triggered this. So that's kind of scary if you can't even go to the bathroom in your own house.
And I don't know why she wouldn't want to get some help with that. I mean, of course you don't want to just go dump your kid off at like at a mental facility, but I'm saying of course you want to like try to get him some help. Like, 'cause in that point, like, you got to be walking around your own house like walking on eggshells.
Yep, that was it. That's crazy.
Like, you definitely want to try to get some help. When those signs are there, you definitely want to get some help. And
Well, certainly, because then it could turn tragically like this, you know. So I guess the answer to all of this, you know, we're running out of time here, and I know we really can't answer everything in one show. But what would you believe would be a good preventative measure, you know, to prevent all of these unnecessary hate crimes or acts of violence from happening again? I mean, we know we can't stop everybody, but is there even an answer to this? You know, well, Obama's trying the best he can to get a lock on gun control. What can we do as an American citizen?
Well, I definitely don't think that we can even go to Obama for this, because like I'm saying, these things were happening before Obama and they're probably going to happen after Obama. But my thing is this. The only thing I can say is we got to take more responsibility and accountability for our actions, because like I'm saying, if you know that you have a child, or if you just know that you're around a person that's mentally unstable or they're showing signs that they have some issues, try to get them some help. Especially like if you're a friend of a family, if you're an uncle or aunt or anything like that in a family, and you know you have a niece or nephew or you have a cousin or you have somebody that has some issues and it's known that they have those issues and they don't have help, try to talk to their parent or somebody to get them the proper help that they need. Because no, in most cases that we're noticing that when it's being like these type of shootings and stuff like this at schools, or like when it's just some type of shooting, 9 times out of 10, the person has some type of problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
If it's known that that person has a problem, we need to make sure that we are getting that person the proper help, or not even necessarily help. I mean, I don't want to sound mean or sound rude or anything, but that person don't need to be in the community with everybody else if they having those type of thoughts about doing harm and innocent people.
Mm.
You know, we don't need to have them in an area where they have access to guns. Like, we need to have them, like, you know, we have people like we have those people in prison. We need to have people that have those type of issues in a certain type of place so they don't have those type of, they don't have access to guns or anything like that where they can harm other people. Because like me and you stated earlier that like you don't only affect that person, but you affect the whole family.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you can do other things, like you can say anything about a person, you could possibly even fight a person. You can apologize for that. But, like, once you kill someone, I mean, that apology is not going to bring somebody back.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And that right there, I believe, is the most powerful statement so far we've even mentioned in this segment. That's just no coming back from that. Death is final, you know? And so, PB, I certainly have enjoyed having you. I'm upset we are running out of time. We only have, like, a few minutes remaining. But I knew we wouldn't be able to get it all out in one show, but I just had to bring it to the table because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Enough is enough, okay? And we just have to bring an awareness to this unnecessary violence, and especially pertaining to our youth. Now, that's one thing when adults get out there and they get to tripping and shooting each other up. Okay, that's adults. I'm not even saying that's right. But an innocent child, I mean, I can't even stand it when my baby look at me and she cried when I tell her to go sit in the corner, time out, and she crying. I can't even take that. So let alone an innocent life, and I know these babies had to be screaming and hollering when they were being murdered. It's just unbelievable the amount of pain.
Yeah, and I just feel sorry for the kids that witnessed this and just still living like their life would never be the same.
Never. Never, you know, my children witnessed, you know, their cousin get murdered, and they're never the same from that. She was hit and killed by a drunk driver, and, you know, that was a very, very brutal death, you know, watching that. So my thing is just imagine a shooting where they're seeing blood and guts and all this other kind of stuff. It is unbelievable the amount of trauma that these people have caused, you know. But certainly, I guess we are going to have to do a part two or a wrap-up because we only got a few seconds now remaining. But, PB, I have really enjoyed you. Thank you for coming back to the show. You know, here on Brown Sugar Radio, the loyal listeners love you. And, you know, I often get emails in my box, you know, where's PB? When you and PB going to do another show? So I said this will be the perfect show to have you back on, because I know you sit.
You got any time you need me, you know.
Okay, I know you sitting back like, what in the world is going on? So, PB, go ahead if you want to shout out your Twitter real quick or Facebook or anything where anyone can reach you at.
you know, I actually don't have, you know what, I kind of deleted Twitter. I don't even have it no more. Like, I'm off of Twitter. I'm still excited that I'm off of Twitter, but, you know, I kind of took a step back. I had to take a step back.